This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the silly? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Thanks so much for being with us on a Monday. We come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They are challenging times here. Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7. RocketMortgage.com, their home to yours. The team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Thanks for being with us, everybody. Coming up later on in the show, 2 hours from now, we'll begin our series, DA's Favorite People in Sports, with Jim Murray from 98.5 The Sports Hub in Boston. He's a hysterical follow, especially if you like really hard food takes. Like, you're an idiot if you put ketchup on your hot dog, and I will shame you to no end. There are food takes and movie takes and TV takes that I don't agree with Big Jim Murray, but I really appreciate how hard he comes down on the side that is wrong in his mind about things that are obviously relatively insignificant. So Big Jim Murray coming up here in about 2 hours from now. All this week, every day this week, we'll have on another person that I really love in sports, that I love listening to or watching or following on social media. I figure this is a good time in the middle of all this unrest and division and animosity. It's a good time to bring together people that I really appreciate. Good people that I really like following and enjoying their content. So Big Jim's going to join us coming up here at the top of hour number four. You can always hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS. Again, DA on CBS. Obviously, a weekend of unrest, a weekend of social protesting, peaceful protests, not peaceful protests, violent rioting, destruction, and mayhem. And it is a nation that has been torn apart racially, but it's always been there. And what we're seeing now is that you can't keep something under wraps forever. You would have thought we went through this 50 years ago in 1968 in the Civil War, or the civil disobedience of the late 60s, and finally getting legislation pushed through for equal opportunity in the civil rights fight. But unfortunately, 50 years later, we realize we have made some progress, but not enough. And there is still a lot of anger and frustration and hopelessness that takes over. And that's what we're seeing. So we'll talk about that coming up this hour. Joe Burrow had an interesting tweet this weekend. We'll talk about that coming up in 40 minutes. And also, we'll discuss, obviously, at large, what this may mean for some of the athletes involved from a sports sense. I think the country is reeling. The country is under convulsions right now. And it just goes to show you that there is a lot of people from all racial sectors that are unhappy with their present, as in their current situation. So I want to talk about this with the upcoming NFL season. Assuming that the NFL season is played, it will likely be, at least at the start, without fans. I would imagine that we shouldn't really start thinking about fans in the stands of football games until later on in the fall. But again, who knows if there's flare-ups that happen, if there's another wave of the coronavirus that happens because weather gets cold, flu season, people's immune systems are down, etc. We have no idea about how that's going to look. So if we just assume that the start of the NFL season and college football season, if there's college football played, but with at least the NFL, it's a controllable. You don't have to worry about students being on campus, not being on campus, government institutions, state-funded institutions. You're just talking about a players' union and a multi-billion dollar business. If there's no fans in the stands and football is played in the NFL, how do you fill the void? How do you fill the void of silence in stadiums that seat 70,000 people? You know, it's been interesting to watch this recent evolution of Bundesliga because the German Soccer League had gone from completely silent matches in its opening weekend to FS1 and other telecasts pumping in crowd noise. The telecasts have pumped in some crowd noise so that it sounded like there were fans in the stands. That seems a little weird because there aren't fans in the stands. The players can't hear it. But it certainly is far more normal sounding than it being completely silent. And I think most people have had a pretty positive reaction to the sounds of the stands, the sounds of the game without there being actual fans attending. So the NFL is kicking around the same idea. We had Joe Buck, who had said recently on a podcast, yeah, we're going to pump in crowd noise. That is going to happen. And we're going to act like there's going to be a crowd when there isn't a crowd. That's what we're planning for. And that's not all that surprising because you have this massive television contract and CBS and Fox and NBC. Oh, they are loving the idea of football coming back because what will those numbers look like? Could you imagine what those ratings that are normally very strong look like in the middle of this when people are just dying for football to come back and sports to come back and their Sundays to be somewhat normal? Oh my goodness. But is it possible that actually just the players themselves, because there's so much talking, there's so much ambient conversation around NFL games, football games, that maybe it's better to be able to hear them on the field. Maybe it's more compelling than just kind of being put at ease because you kind of hear a fake crowd. Eagles offensive lineman Lane Johnson and wide receiver DeSean Jackson had a YouTube conversation about miking up everybody. And DeSean Jackson said, yeah, it's going to get crazy. I think they should. They should give the fans the inside to really see what goes on between the white lines. It gets crazy, bro. I know in the trenches it gets crazy. I know out there on the outside it gets crazy, too, the conversations that we have going back and forth. So what's better here? Is it that if we mic'd up every player and got to hear everything? Or is it fake crowd noise? Personally, for me, if you had everybody mic'd up and you had everything going out, I mean, obviously you have to have an audio director choose which conversations you want because clearly you can't have everybody talking at the same time. But if you have all of those conversations happening and you could actually hear them, I love that better than fake crowd noise because football lends itself to a lot of trash talking and calls at the line, and of course play calls and audibles and hot reads and linebackers calling out who's what, and you just have just a lot of chatter. You know, in a lot of other sports like baseball, you're not going to have much that's all that interesting. In soccer, I don't think there's been much that's all that interesting either. But in basketball and football, there's such constant communication that that would be pretty fascinating. And especially football, because you have basically talk, 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 play, talk, 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 play, talk, 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 talk. You know, in basketball, you might have longer stretches without a lot of conversation because plays are taking 25, 35, 45 seconds to get ready. From a football standpoint, you've got to converse in the huddle at the line of scrimmage, the play call, you know, what snap count, and then the play goes off. Play is done in 10 seconds, and then you're back to everybody talking again. So I think actually it could be fascinating. The only thing is, it'll never happen. It'll never happen because it's impossible to police all of those conversations. There's just no way these TV directors and the producers and the audio people are going to want to, on the fly, try to police 22 guys who are dropping all types of F-bombs. No matter if you tell them don't do it or not, you know it's going to happen. And you can't afford that type of language to get out over national TV. And on top of it, coaches would never go for hearing their play calls out there. And quarterbacks would never go for letting their signals be called out there. And they would never go for hearing inside the huddle. The reason that we have mic'd up anything is that NFL films get the audio and then it gets chopped up and edited and they strip away the really interesting stuff because they have to. And the same thing when we have players mic'd up for Monday night. What you end up having is just the same old, all right, guys, let's go out there. It's our time, baby. It's our time. All right, oh, man. Hey, he looks good tonight. Let's go out there. Let's win this game. I mean, you just have the same old stuff every single week. None of it's all that interesting. So while in a perfect world, I'd love all players to be mic'd up, I know that's unrealistic. So there's going to be the pumped in fake crowd noise. If you had a choice, Mraz, which one are you taking for football games in the fall?
I'm pumped in crowd noise because I'm with you. Anything that's really, truly like going to wow me that a player will say, my bet is probably involves a bad word and will end up being dumped out and we'll get silenced anyway. And yeah, we get enough of that with the Inside the NFL or whatever other show during the week, you know, Hard Knocks and whatever Amazon Prime show there is. I'm good with mic'd up players. To me, I want it to sound as normal as possible. I don't want this all of a sudden to be an experimental year with the NFL on television. I want what I enjoy watching. And if that means, like we've heard with the Bundesliga, it sounds pretty normal with the crowd noise, give me that. Give me fake defense chants. I would much rather that than hearing some speech on the sideline or some trash talk between a corner and a wide receiver. I mean, maybe you can implement some of that if you have more players mic'd up, if you go back to it in editing, like, oh, this is what happened earlier in the first quarter and these guys going back. But anything that's semi-real time, I don't think is going to be all that interesting anyway.
Admittedly, I have not played Madden in more than 10 years. I probably played Madden back in like 08 or 09. How's the crowd noise in a Madden game? Are they using like over-the-top crowd noise? Is it a pretty good balance?
I think it's a good balance to the point that you're saying that now, and I played Madden again 2 days ago. I'm in the middle of franchise mode. The crowd noise never even strikes me as anything. The analyst work by Charles Davis is unbelievable. But yeah, so the crowd noise is just background. It's just secondary to the point that you're not really even thinking about it. And I think that's where the NFL has to go. It has to sound at a comfort level because the lack of crowd noise at all, plus the mic'd up stuff, is just going to be a constant weird reminder that there's no fans. And I think that we should get away from that.
So you've now watched Bundesliga the last 3 weekends. It's part of your Saturday and Sunday tradition now. It's part of your weekends.
I'm into it. I had an hour between games on Saturday that I had to run to get mulch at Lowe's, and I waited for that hour of in between. It's at DA, look, I'm total fraud alert. You know me a long time. I have always been the make fun of soccer guy, always. For no reason, you know, you talk about all the troll stuff I've ever done on Twitter. I have always mocked, you know, World Cup parties, what are you kidding? I can't get enough. If I'm not up by 9:30 on a Saturday, which I would be anyway with the baby, it's a problem. I need to get out there, and I need to be watching Bundesliga.
So have you gotten used to the fake crowd noise?
Yeah. Yeah. Again, this week, it took me to the second game. Might have been the Silky game. I'm still getting used to these team names where I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. No crowd again. I think they're shooting it awesome. I think the advertising looks good in the lower bowl. And the way the crowd noise is pumped in, it's not again, I can't show this stuff. It's not cheesy crowd noise that you'd get from your Papa Shot game at your local arcade when the whistle goes off. It sounds like a game that's being played in front of you, which I think is awesome. The riding of the levels is awesome. I'm into it.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like you're at Dave and Buster's and you went to Papa Shot. Right. It's like, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah. Right, exactly. That would sound cheesy. This is perfect. I think the way Fox is doing it specifically is perfect, but CBS, I'm sure, can, NBC, ESPN as well. So I think this is the way to go. I really do. And I think if more people were watching Bundesliga, hey, look at me waving the soccer flag here, you would be real comfortable with how the NFL could potentially sound like this.
Premier League is going to be another interesting one because there's such huge global numbers and ratings with Premier League, and they're going to come back on June the 17th. So we're a little over 2 weeks away from them coming back. When Premier League comes back, I can't wait to see how they handle the telecast because those are usually some of the most streamlined, polished telecasts in any sports right. league anywhere. So let's see how NBC and their family networks handles the crowd noise. But I think my guess is because it's worked so well with the Bundesliga, they're going to pump in crowd noise to the Premier League.
DA, what do I do when the Premier League comes back, though? I can't now turn my back on Bundesliga, but everybody's going to go, you got to watch Premier League. Now what am I doing? Now,
well, I want to tell you this. As a soccer fan, the quality of the soccer in the Premier League is not much better than the Bundesliga. In fact, you could argue the best teams of the Bundesliga and the best matches are better than most of what you would see in the Premier League. It's very equivalent in terms of the talent. It's just that the brands of the Premier League are so big. You know, there's nothing quite like Man City and Man United and Liverpool and, you know, all your big ones, your Tottenhams. And so if you're just looking for the best soccer, stay with the Bundesliga. You're doing just fine. If you're looking for the brand that you could understand and know, oh, I know Manchester United, I know Liverpool, then you'll want to go there. But you know what? There's plenty of soccer for everybody.
I just don't want to be that person who, like, is at a loyal bar, right? You go into a loyal bar, and all of a sudden a bar opens up across the street, and everybody flocks to it, and you really just don't want to give up on the bar you're at and be like, well, I'm not going to go to the new place. And I feel like Twitter is going to become this place where I am just finally now integrating myself and understanding the game of Bundesliga, and everybody now is going to be tweeting up a storm at the Premier League, and I'm going to be sitting there holding my hat going, wait, we don't care about Dortmund anymore?
Yeah, but you would have credibility then amongst the Bundesliga fans. They would know that you stuck through them with the thick and thin.
If this ends with me at the age of 45 as the premier Bundesliga beat writer in America, that would be some turn.
When we come back, your best audio of the day, and that includes Andy Reid on why he did not want to see 4th and 15 passed, and what an NBA postseason seeded 1 through 16 would look like. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Glad you're with us here on a fine Monday aboard the DA show. And we begin with your best audio of the day with James Jones, the former Packers wide receiver, joined the Pat McAfee show right here on CBS Sports Radio, and says, you are going to see a highly motivated Aaron Rodgers this season.
I wouldn't be surprised if Aaron Rodgers wins MVP this year, man.
Oh.
He's a guy who's always going to accept the challenge, man. He's going to always rise to the occasion, man. And now you have a guy in the first round who eventually is going to have to play. We don't know if it's going to be 4 years. We don't know if it's going to be 2 years. We don't know if it's going to be 10. We don't know. But we know when you take a guy in the first round, they are going to want to see him play before his contract is up. And Aaron Rodgers knows that. He was one of those guys that was drafted in the first round and had those opportunities. So he knows for that. To push that back, you have to play at a high level. And I believe Aaron Rodgers is going to come out. He will win MVP this year.
He will win MVP this year. I absolutely believe we are going to see one of the best seasons Aaron Rodgers ever has. I don't know if I would put him at MVP at this point in his career. Perhaps that would also mean that not only do the Green Bay Packers have a great season, but also that Aaron Rodgers helps carry them there. He is the reason why. And this offense is no longer really built around Aaron Rodgers having huge games in huge moments. and huge numbers. It's still, they're trying to make this more of a balanced offense. So I still think, you know, your quarterbacks like Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson, who are the central points of their offense and their offensive systems are let it rip, are far better candidates for that type of season. But I do think that the drafting of Jordan Love is the type of thing that absolutely gets Rodgers' attention, puts that chip on his shoulder even more, and throws him into a bleep you season. I could absolutely see that being a bleep you season upcoming for Rodgers, and I don't know if that means he's in conflict constantly with Matt LaFleur, or if that just means that he wants to prove to everybody out there, you know what, I'm not washed up. They drafted Jordan Love, but I'm not done here yet. But I do think a guy that's as proud as Rodgers and still as talented as Rodgers, if the system allows, he is going to have a phenomenal season. We continue as part of Soundcheck here with Andy Reid. He's got one of those quarterbacks that could easily win the MVP and already has in Patrick Mahomes. But he was not a proponent of the proposed 4th and 15, which would have been the replacement to the onside kick. Here's Andy Reid on the Rich Eisen Show.
I'm a little bit of a traditionalist in some ways, because I think this can lead a little bit down the road to where all of a sudden you start kicking out the kickoff return and kickoff. And I've got talented players for that particular phase of the game. And I got the best, or at least one of the best and possibly in the history of the game, coaches in Dave Toth. So I like to be able to exploit that area.
So for Andy Reid, I mean, it's a kind of win-win situation. You're the defending Super Bowl champ, so you are clearly good enough to win all of the games you need to win in how the game is structured and how your units are structured. So no matter what here, Andy Reid, it's kind of like when you are the big winner, you don't want anything to change. When you are doing better than everybody else, you definitely don't want the rules of the game to change. So, you know, the wealthiest people in America don't want any wealth distribution. They don't want a new tax bracket. They like how things are going. They don't want a new economy. They're doing quite well, thank you. So for Andy Reid, yeah, you know what? We're just going to stay put here, Stan Pat. We like the way it's going right now because we win a lot of football games and just won the Super Bowl. But I actually think this is a little short-sighted by Andy, because 4th and 15, instead of needing an onside kick, absolutely helps out the Chiefs more than any other team. There is no offense and no quarterback better suited to convert a 4th and 15 if the Chiefs needed to come back and needed to steal a possession than Mahomes and that offense. They would have a significant advantage over everybody else. Let's just say if the Chiefs trailed by 12 points and there was 2 minutes to go and they had only one timeout, they could feasibly score in 36 seconds and need the onside kick but couldn't stop the clock again. And instead of needing a 9% chance of getting the onside kick, have a one play for 15 yards and you'd be scared if you were the defense. You'd be like, oh God, we have to defend a 4th and 15 from Mahomes? We don't want to do that. We'd much rather try to get the onside kick. So it could work against the Chiefs if they've got big leads on teams, and then teams can go against the Chiefs defense, which clearly isn't their strength, but it would really help out the Chiefs as the one team that you would be scared of. You can't give them the 4th and 15. And finally, here is Ryan McDonough, who is the former GM of the Phoenix Suns, who joined JR Sport Brief here on CBS Sports Radio, on how a 1-16 seeding would look in the NBA playoffs if there was no West and Eastern Conference brackets.
A lot of the Western Conference teams want the playoffs to be seeded 1-16 regardless of conference. They say, look, if we're going to take travel out of the equation, we're all going to be in the same site in Orlando. Why don't we just seed 1-16 based on regular season record? And if two Eastern Conference teams play each other or two Western Conference teams or there's a cross-conference matchup, it doesn't matter. There's no travel. We're all in the same place. The 1-16 playoff seeding absolutely has been discussed, and as I mentioned, would be favored by an overwhelming number of Western Conference teams, just given how difficult it is to make the playoffs in the West relative to the East.
That's interesting, because there would have to be one Western Conference team that would hate it, being the Los Angeles Lakers, because if they seeded it right now, 1 through 16, you could get the Lakers as the 2 overall seed facing the 15th overall seed, which right now would be the Nets. And if the Nets somehow got Kevin Durant and or Kyrie Irving back, they are no normal 15 seed in this thing, and the Lakers would have a real fight in their hands in the first round. And that is your sound check. Join Michael Breed as he tees off on the top headlines in the world of golf. Watch Course Record with Michael Breed today at 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific on the CBS Sports Network. CBS Sports Spectacular, yeah! Brad Heller is standing by. He's the dessert coordinator. He also has our headlines this morning. Mr. Brad Heller, good morning.
Good morning, DA. The Major League Baseball Players Association has made its counterproposal to the owners. They want a 114-game season from June 30th to October 31st. That's up from the 82 games the owners are asking for. As expected, they don't want any more pay cuts, but they would defer salaries up to $100 million if the postseason is canceled, if there's a second wave of the coronavirus. And also in this counterproposal, an opt-out for all players to sit out the season because of virus concerns. They would still get service time. Those considered high risk, or if they live with someone that's high risk, they would still get paid for the season if they sit out. Someone who is not high risk and sits out, they would not get paid. Today has been considered a soft deadline for the two sides to reach an agreement for the season to begin July 4th weekend, but the players want it to start now June 30th based on this counterproposal. No word yet when the owners will make their response. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver addressed the death of George Floyd and the ensuing protests in a memo to employees. According to ESPN, Silver writes that the league shares in the outrage. Racism, police brutality, and racial injustice remain part of everyday life, Silver says, and it cannot be ignored. Michael Jordan's statement from yesterday says he's deeply saddened, truly pained, and plain angry. And Jordan asks for peaceful expressions against injustice and demands accountability. There was a peaceful protest in Atlanta over the weekend led by Celtics guard Jaylen Brown, who made the 15-hour drive from Boston to his home state of Georgia.
Raising awareness. Some of the injustice that we've been seeing is not okay. And as a young person, you gotta listen to our perspective. Our voices need to be heard. I'm 23 years old, I don't know all the answers. But I feel how everybody else is feeling, for sure.
Jaylen Brown was joined by Pacers guard Malcolm Brogdon, among others. TMZ Sports obtained video of former NBA guard J.R. Smith beating up a man who allegedly damaged his truck during the protests in L.A. Smith is seen kicking and punching him before the man, who is white, runs away. JR justified the beating on social media and said it was not a hate crime. The support for George Floyd coming from athletes around the world, including in the Bundesliga, Borussia Dortmund winger Jadon Sancho. He finished with a hat trick, and after one of his goals yesterday, he took off his jersey to show a Justice for George Floyd message. And Sancho tweeted after the match, "First professional hat trick, a bittersweet moment personally, as there are more important things going on in the world today that we must address and help make a change. We have to come together as one and fight for justice. We are stronger together." And NASCAR wrapping up a stretch of 5 Cup Series races in 15 days. Yesterday at Bristol Motor Speedway, Brad Keselowski winning it after Chase Elliott and Joey Logano crashed in front of him with a lap to go. DA.
Thank you, Brad. You could hear me getting a little giddy there because I heard Heller doing Borussia Dortmund updates and talking about the Bundesliga box scores, and that just excites me. I've longed for the day when Heller would do Bundesliga box scores here on
that
CBS Sports Radio. So I lived long enough to see it. 855-212-4CBS, the phone number. 855-212-4227 on Twitter. DA on CBS. The J.R. Smith video went viral yesterday, and we see it was actually filmed from 2 different users with their cell phones, and he is pinning a guy up against his vehicle and kind of like pushing him down to the ground and then kicking him, and finally the guy runs away. My favorite part about this, though, is that there is, I don't know, a friend of J.R. Smith. Did you see this video, Mraz, where the friend of J.R. Smith says into the camera, "Hey, man, please respect his privacy. Respect his privacy." And then quickly turns around to sprint towards J.R. Smith, beating the crap out of somebody. And then turns to another guy and says, "Please respect his privacy." And then runs back. And J.R. Smith is like kicking the snot out of a guy. So I just love this kind of like moment of fake diplomacy. Hey, guys, everyone, respect his privacy as he is just crushing this dude like 5 feet behind him. Oh, I'm sure everybody with their cell phones are like, "Oh, yeah, you know what? You're right. Everybody, cell phones off here. Let's respect the man's privacy as he beats the living crap out of somebody on the street in front of us."
It is so true, but J.R. Smith can't look at his hype man there and go, "You didn't do your job." He tried. He definitely tried. That is such a good take from the video.
It's so funny. I almost felt like that the sidekick or the friend of J.R. Smith is almost like, "Okay, I'm contractually obliged to say, please respect his privacy," because this happens when he's like at the club and he's like drinking too much or hitting on a chick or something. So I've done this so much, I should do this now, but there's bigger fish to fry. I got to run back and make sure that he's in the middle of a brawl in the middle of the street.
And I got to make sure there's no soup around that he could be throwing as well. Uglier.
It's just amazing. By the way, so these players, we got some clarification on this. The players' union has the counterproposal for 114 games. Now, that's approximately 34 more games than the original proposal by the owners of 80 or 82. I forget if it was 80 or 82. And so this would start, they want, on June the 30th, which baseball back on June the 30th at the games that count would be amazing. And they want the regular season to carry through Halloween, the regular season, and then the playoffs to begin November 1st. And I'd like to know, how are they getting expanded playoffs in starting November 1? We already have a month of MLB playoffs dedicated in October, and we almost play every day. Most teams don't have any off days until a series is over, and even then it's very short. And we have the standard number of teams in the playoffs. Mraz, how are we getting an expanded postseason all squished in after November 1st?
The only thing I could come up with is that, you know, we've heard a million of plans, but before this all got settled, I would have to think they're going to go some neutral site playoffs here. Because, I mean, let's be frank, if you're playing playoff games in New York or Chicago and, you know, it's freezing by the time you get in that Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade, I don't know how at that point the season doesn't shift to a Miami or an Arizona or a San Diego and say, you know, we're going Super Bowl style here with neutral sites. To me, that's the only way you could do it. Otherwise, the actual, you know, part of the game that is, you know, baseball, summertime, even the crisp fallness, once that dwindles, the playoffs will be affected by weather if you don't move these games to neutral sites if you're going into November. And at that point, your entire playoff, if you're doing expanded play, gets the integrity is lost in it anyway. So, yeah, I guess it's possible. But to me, neutral sites then have to come into play for the postseason.
I think that is part of it. You'd have to have domes. You'd have to have retractable roofs. You have to go to Texas and, as you said, San Diego and Los Angeles and Phoenix and the Florida stadiums. But also, is there literally enough days to get this done? What I mean by that is you've got to allocate 7 days for the World Series and 7 days for the league championship games. And at very best, you're playing every day two series in the LCSs. So the ALCS, NLCS, there's doubleheaders every single day. That way you can squeeze in all of the games into the most finite amount of time. So that's 14 days right there allocated for the World Series and the LCSs. We are talking about a proposed expanded playoff where there's two rounds of playoffs to get to the LCSs. So even if it's best of fives, there's a best of five opening round, then a best of five divisional round, then a best of seven LCS, best of seven World Series. That's 27 days of games. If you start that on November 1st, that also means that there's no days off between the end of the regular season and then the playoffs beginning. That takes us, if there's no off days in between every series, that's 27 days. I mean, are we playing baseball every single day of November? And if we're traveling to Phoenix or Dallas or whatever, I mean, you have to have a travel day in there. I don't even know if you can get in all the postseason in just the month of November.
Which means what, we'd be playing baseball at the beginning of December? That seems out of control and ridiculous. Now, the one thing that could work for baseball, at least on those weeknights, is if the NBA and NHL continue into September and they push back their seasons to start till December, baseball at least will own those weeknights that football's not involved in. But another thing that we're not even factoring in, are we just going to pretend that rainouts don't happen throughout the summer in a lot of these places in Major League Baseball? Because usually you use some of these off days to figure out a way to be flexible to make up dates at the end. And if you're playing every day, how are you going to make up any game that's rained out? Or are we just saying now anything goes and you're going to play through a monsoon and turn your field into a mud puddle as well? You got to have some room for rainouts in Major League Baseball. They happen every year.
Yeah, I don't see how they could possibly get in 114 games. I don't think that's it. I think 100 is feasible, but that's the absolute high end. And if you're going to do a postseason with expanded playoffs, I think you just have to have them in one neutral site, kind of like the Disney World concept, where every team flies to Dallas or every team flies to San Diego or flies to Miami or something, and every game is played in that stadium. Because if there's any travel and we're expanding the playoffs to four rounds, forget it. I mean, you can't physically get that many games into 1 month of baseball with another tier of the postseason. When we come back here on the show, Joe Burrow had a really interesting tweet over the weekend, and I think it might suggest that the Bengals really got a good one. I'll talk about it next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Value, big upside.
And next time you come here, DA, with your wife, we will go on a double date. We will go to the Town Tavern where you can get good burgers, maybe some shrimp cocktail or something like that.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What I wouldn't give these days to double date with Hurricane Jen and get some good burgers
good
and shrimp
burgers.
Cocktail. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Geico has introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current to new customers that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility.
Maybe some shrimp cocktail.
Isn't it amazing how something could just get caught in your mind? Every time I make a burger on the grill, I say to myself, either out loud or in my head, good burgers.
Good burgers.
When I pass something on the road that is a burger joint and it says, you know, burgers here or whatever, I say in my head, good burgers.
Good burgers.
Occasionally, this has actually happened. We will be driving and I will say under my breath, unknowingly, good burgers, when I just see a burger joint or a burger sign. And my wife is like, what? And I'm like, oh, nothing. Didn't say anything there. Because how do you explain, oh, I'm just talking about something Hurricane Jen said on the show 3 years ago. It's inevitable. You can always watch the show on video on YouTube. So check out our best clips, the best rants, the best moments, the best interviews, as well as the funniest moments and classic moments, all available on YouTube. Just simply search for the CBS Sports Radio YouTube channel. Joe Burrow tweeted something over the weekend that got a lot of attention and also a lot of applause, especially from former Bengals players. Joe Burrow tweeted, "The black community needs our help. They have been unheard for far too long. Open your ears, listen, and speak. This isn't politics. This is human rights." One of the great offensive linemen in Bengals history, Willie Anderson, responded, "Before he's even stepped on the field, Joe is showing us what kind of leader he is. Things like this hardly ever get mentioned by quarterbacks. It's always other positions. Thank you, Joe. Hashtag who day." Joe Burrow's speech at his Heisman Trophy acceptance was a really powerful one. And it was the first sense that Joe Burrow's different. This is not a quarterback made in a lab. This isn't a QB that's been coddled and protected. This isn't one of those high-end, wealthy families that said, we're going to make our kid star football player. He's going to get the coaching and the direction and the resources and the team and the school that he needs. It was very obvious that Joe Burrow had really nothing handed to him and that he came from a place where he had known hardship. Because in his acceptance speech for the Heisman, Joe Burrow makes it a point to talk about the literacy rate of the area he grew up in, Southeast Ohio, and talks about the poverty level. Now, if you are a white quarterback in the NFL, and I don't want to make this racial, but this is why this is significant to me, it is hard for most of us to quickly off the top of our heads think of a starting quarterback in the NFL that's white who came from an impoverished background. It's just not normally what we associate with it. If Lamar Jackson talks about that, hey, where I came from was tough and literacy rate is not high and poverty level is really high, you know, that does not strike us as outside the box. There's so many athletes with that story, so many African-American athletes and people of color with that story in our sports. There's not a lot of white quarterbacks, not a lot of, I'm not saying white people, because certainly there is so many people across America, all shades and colors and creeds, that includes white people, that come from difficult, impoverished backgrounds. That is not rare. But for quarterbacks in the NFL, what we think of is the Peyton Mannings, who are kind of royalty, or the Tom Brady's, who grew up with enough money to go to Niners playoff games. You know, we think of Drew Brees, coming from structured, stable family household. That's just what we know and what we associate with so many NFL quarterbacks, and white specifically NFL quarterbacks. So to hear Joe Burrow talk about, you know, where I'm from is poor and illiterate, was the first sign of, oh, this guy's different. And that was not something to be ashamed of, but something instead to illuminate and to help change. That's also another part of this. That Joe Burrow stands up there on that podium and is not embarrassed of where he came from. It is, we need to shed light on this. We need to change this. This made me who I was, but this is not okay. That my community can't read, and my community has overdoses all the time, and my community is impoverished. Well, that's a significant thing to hear from the number one pick in the NFL draft, who's going to be a quarterback. And then to step out here and say something like this on Twitter before he's played an NFL game, again, is significant. This is a young man that maybe by going to Ohio State and not having any playing time and having a fight for PT and snaps and not being good enough to do so because there was so much talent ahead of him, maybe has learned a set of different lessons as a quarterback, and maybe coming from where he has come from is a different type of leader than we've seen in the past. It's not out of a petri dish of, okay, you know, you watch Peyton Manning and how he did it and you just become that type of guy. I think so many young quarterbacks look at it as kind of like a guidebook. You know, you go to the Elite 11 camps and you do this and you play for this high school team and you go to this coaching camp and then, you know, you say all the right things and, you know, you kind of hold yourself a certain way. I mean, there's kind of a conceptual leadership position when it comes to NFL quarterback. And Joe Burrow is kind of throwing that out, and I love it. I love it. This dude is real. This dude is real, and the realness combined with how great of a football player he was last year makes me believe he can be really different. He could be a great quarterback, but also a real person and a guy that can really lead, that has a locker room's ear. Because how many quarterbacks in the NFL come from a background totally different than most of their teammates? Probably a lot of them. Probably a lot of starting quarterbacks in the NFL can't necessarily relate to the guy that came from a broken household in a drug-infested neighborhood that needed football to get him out so that he didn't become a gangbanger or a drug dealer or in jail. Probably not a lot of quarterbacks can do so. And here is Joe Burrow admitting, man, my upbringing was not much better than yours. The places that I've been, I've seen, that I've been around, my area, my region, I get it. And this is about you guys, this fight right now, and I'm with you guys. That's pretty heady stuff. Pride of Joe Burrow. He's going to be a good one. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.